It's once again good to see you all today. You look wonderful in the eyes of God and man, both. Very good to see you and gather today. So happy the sun has peeked out as well. Let's have another word of prayer before we get into the gospel account of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Father, we thank you once again to be in your presence with you, celebrating a day that changed the history of mankind, made in your image, a day that pointed to you being indeed the Messiah, the chosen one of God, the risen Savior, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Because of that, now we can enter into eternal peace and security. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have assurance of eternal life through what Christ paid at the cross, proving that he conquered death and the grave and being resurrected. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, lead and guide the teaching today, for I admit that I need your power and your presence. I ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's family said, amen. Once again, for the third time, I think, happy Resurrection Sunday. Jesus indeed is risen. That's Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. You'll be hearing it again. And welcome to all those who are joining us, maybe online via Facebook or YouTube. And if you have a paper Bible, turn to Matthew 28. If you have a Bible app, whatever, Matthew 28. And by the way, we do have a couple people notice these on the way in. We get these Bibles to give to you. So if you want a paper Bible, please, please, we welcome and we say thank you in advance for taking it. Please use it, read it, God's Word, God's truth. Matthew chapter 28. And the resurrection is talked about in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We'll be looking specifically at Matthew with some cross-references to the other gospel accounts in which this took place. It says in verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, one thing you'll notice in the gospel accounts of the resurrection, there's a lot of Marys that are named. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other Mary, and Mary Magdalene. Now, Mary Magdalene is referenced in one of the other gospels in which seven devils were cast out of her. Seven devils were cast out of her. And let me just mention this, that the only time you will see a plural usage other than he or him is when demons are in someone. No one will be referred to as anything other than him or her, other than when demons are inside of the person. And Mary Magdalene had seven devils cast out of her. And in this account, she is referenced, and of course, she's a new creature now, and she's come into the sepulcher, that's a King James word for grave, to see where Jesus is. It says in verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. This was no ordinary stone. This was a stone of 3,000, 4,000 pounds, and it was to be secured by Roman guards that were posted there. Notice there were three supernatural acts that took place. First, a supernatural act of nature, an earthquake. Secondly, a divine messenger, an angel. One of the accounts says it was two angels. And then an angelic demonstration of strength. The resurrection was miraculous. Everything about it pointed to the power and the glory of an almighty God. It is unique, unprecedented, truly man, truly God. The resurrection points to this. And what's interesting is the position of the angel in this account says he just sat on the rock. Think about that for a minute. The angel rolls the rock away. That's 3,000-4,000 pounds. Certainly it would take many men to do so. And he's just sitting upon the rock, just kind of hanging out there. And of course, we have the Marys there and others and that the other gospel accounts will show up. And what did he look like? It says in verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment or clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, or the guards, and they became as dead men. So again, the Roman guards there, securing, and the angel puts them in a spiritual sleep hold, so to speak. Verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you see Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, verse 6, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. He is risen. That statement is part of the gospel, as I was talking to on Good Friday. If you want to simplify the gospel for your friends and relatives today, there's two statements you can put the gospel into. It is finished. He is risen. And here we see exactly that. Come see the place where the Lord lay, the angel says. Then he gives a directive in verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, like I have told you. One of the other gospels account, the angel says, why do you seek the living amongst the dead when the people came to the sepulchre, the grave? It's interesting that Barry and Jim, two of the elders, are teaching on Genesis right now. And as far as Jesus being here, to my knowledge, there's no Jesus fossils, no dental records of Jesus' teeth, bones, hair follicles, niente, nothing that points to him physically being left behind, except one thing, and that's his grave clothes, indicating that he shall return. Other than that, the evidence all points to the fact that Christ did indeed rise again. He did. The only evidence we have now is that the grave is empty, and that Jesus Christ indeed conquered death. But keep that in mind as we move forward, as in verses 11 through 15, there'll be a conspiracy that develops. Verses 1 through 10, which we're going through, is the truth. 11 through 15 is a conspiracy that develops in pertaining to his resurrection. It says in verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulchre, grave, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail, all hail. Go tell my brethren. This is a welcoming salute in the presence of a king. And notice what they do. And they came and held him by the feet, and they worshipped him. And Jesus received that worship. Unlike the angels who told the men to stand up in Revelation and other accounts, Jesus received the worship. Why? Because he's worthy. He's the one who conquered the grave. Jesus is worthy of all worship and honor and glory. So they worship him. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that you go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Interesting here, Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, just used a kingly salute, all hail, but yet he calls the disciples his brothers. And the Word of God says we have a friend in Proverbs that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus has many names in Scripture. He's called the Good Shepherd, the Light of the World. He's the Resurrection, the Life. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Great I Am. And in this context, he says, go and tell my brothers. Very intimate, very personal. Now here comes a conspiracy. And pay special attention to these next few verses. In verse 11, it says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, those keeping guard, came into the city, and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large amounts of money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples have come by night and stole him away while we slept. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported amongst the Jews unto this day. The watchmen were paid off by who? The religious leaders of the day. They told the soldiers to lie about the body of Jesus. Why? Because defiled and untrue religion is rooted in lies. What man will tell you? Dead, untrue religion will sell you there is another way. They'll say God is love, which he is. But one name you will not find for Jesus is the acceptance. Jesus is called the way, the truth, and the life. He is not called Jesus the acceptance. He does not accept your sinful lifestyle. He does not accept man's definition of love. He does not accept perverted sexual practices, debauchery. He does not accept living together unmarried. He does not accept pride. This morning, we remember these things. This morning, we remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Any other way is a lie. Any other way is rooted in the enemy of your soul, Satan himself. It's rooted in the love of money. It's rooted in self-righteousness and pride. And that's exactly what's happened here with this conspiracy. And still some believe today that Christ, in fact, body was stolen. And of course, if you take away the cross, you take away the work, the sin debt that had to be paid. And that's why so many untrue religions, so many cults, so many false prophets and teachers do exactly that. They'll take away from the cross. They'll say it wasn't a cross. They'll say he wasn't crucified. Whatever they could do to take away from Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, this is amazing to me, all the gospel accounts have this. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. That's great. That's appropriate. But look at this. But some doubted. Some doubted. They worshipped him, but some doubted. Welcome to Spencerport Bible Church this morning. The same thing is happening. Some are worshiping, but some are doubting. You're here, but you really don't believe that Christ rose from the dead. You're just coming for the sake of coming. Why? Because it's Easter. Because it's my duty. Because I'll just show up. It's what's expected of me. And isn't it amazing to me, and it should be amazing to you, that the disciples saw the physical resurrected Christ and they still had doubt. In John, the Gospel of John, you know of doubting Thomas. He says, unless I see the nails prints in his side, his feet, I won't believe. In Luke, it says it sounded like it was idle tales to them when the women reported that Christ had risen. Mark 16:14, he appeared, this is Jesus, unto the 11 as they sat and ate, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Jesus himself sitting there, and they're not believing. They're thinking it's someone else. And maybe today you think it's someone else. You think there's some other way. Let me tell you this, there's a way that seems right unto a man, and the end thereof is death. There is no other way to eternal life. There is no other way than through Jesus Christ our Lord. That suffering that paid for our sin is worthy of all honor and all praise. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. We have mistaken in this culture, in this society, in this day, when the Word of God says that God is love, and it does actually say that in 1 John, when it says God in love, you have to really understand what the love of God is. The love of God is selfless. It's service-oriented love. It's a love that was demonstrated in that while we were sinners, Christ suffered and died for us. That's what love is. It doesn't seek its own. It's not boastful. It's not proud. It's not arrogant, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity or lawlessness. What does it rejoice in? The truth. That's the name of Jesus. Jesus is not anywhere in Scripture called the acceptance. And he never will be called the acceptance because he does not accept your sin. He does not accept my sin. Brother Mike already read it. If you know not the Christ that we speak of, you are not storing up treasure. You are storing up the wrath of God on you. Says, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. And the wrath of God abides. That means it's stuck on you. How do you get it off? You believe by faith. You worship and stop doubting. You believe by faith. You worship and you stop doubting. The grave is empty. Over 500 witnesses saw Christ, the resurrected Christ. You say, that's not good enough for me. Do you know anybody who's been transformed by Jesus Christ? How much more of a personal witness can you get? Do you know of anybody who was dead in their trespasses and sins? Do you know of anybody who was going down the wrong path and Christ intervened and transformed them, just like the Apostle Paul? A persecutor? A hater? A murderer of Christians? That's what Christ does. He makes all things new. They're doubting. And here's what's amazing to me. At this point, if I'm the leader of these men, I'm like, I'm done. Guys, I've tried my best. I'm done. I can't trust you guys. I'm going to go look for a new crew. But look at what Jesus does. Look at this. As he ends with a command or a commission that ends with a promise, listen to this. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." You know what all power means? It means all authority. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God, fully man. Cannot get to the Father but through the work of the cross, by faith. He says, "All power is given unto me," where? In heaven and in earth. Now he gives some directives. And here's what he says. He says, go. I have an acronym for that today. Get over it. Get over it. God commissioned these 11 to go. He's commissioning you to go. He said, well, where do I have to go? Where are you going today? Are you going to go have a nice meal after this? That's where God's sending you. Go. We'll say, what do I do when I go? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. They say, what do you mean? Do I have to go over to Timbuktu? No. Go to the family's house that you don't really want to go to. And be kind and be loving. And tell them, it is finished. He is risen. Tell them that Christ has all authority on heaven and in earth. And do it in a way that is loving, not accepting, loving. He says, go. Therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Understand this. Our God is a Trinity, exists in three persons. Don't let a false religious system tell you it's Jesus only. No, it's not Jesus only. Jesus is the second person of the Holy Blessed Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And how do you get to know God the Father? And how do you get the Holy Spirit indwelt in you? By believing in, by faith in what Christ has done. That's called the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, it's called the everlasting gospel. There's even an angel in the heavenlies when the church is gone from the earth, and he's flying through the heavenlies proclaiming this everlasting gospel. Teach them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. He ends with a promise. He says, I am with you. You know what that means? God is not and will not leave you. In your darkest hour, he will shine bright. In your heaviest and most difficult trial, he will fellowship with you. He'll be right there beside you. He says, I am with you. How long? Jesus, always. Even until the end of the world. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You don't just have a Savior. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And people miss that. People miss that about this risen Christ. Did you hear? He said, go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my sisters. He says, I don't call you servants anymore. That's how the Romans lead. Servants don't know what their master does. I'm a servant king. That's why those who have not faith missed it. I call you my friend. Just sit down and eat with me. If any man hears, I'll come in, I'll dine with him. I'll sup with him. Old King James Version. God desires relationship with you. I'll ask people this. I will ask people this, and we'll end in a moment. I will ask people this question. Do you think that Jesus Christ, the one that the Scriptures speak of, do you think the Christ was brutally battered? Do you think that a crown of 2-inch thorns put into his skull? Do you think Christ whipped over and over again, cattails, back shredded open? The Word of God says in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. Do you think this one that the beard got plucked out, the spear in his side and the nails in the feet, do you think Jesus Christ, do you think God the Father turned his back so that you could just be religious? So you could just come to church because it's Easter. Do you think God values that? Or do you think it's because he wanted to enter into a holy covenant? He wanted you to know him. He wanted you to have that same relationship that the Father and the Son have, that they may be one as we are one, Jesus prayed in John 17. That you would just not know him, but know him intimately and deeply. And your life would be a testimony of Christ. And your life would point others to him. The Apostle Paul said to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Jeremiah the prophet, if you boast in this, that you understand and know him. It's the greatest thing. It's better than anything else on earth is to knowing the God that made you in his image. You say, well, how do I get to know him? Believe by faith, stop doubting. Believe by faith, stop doubting. And you know the amazing thing about this glorious gospel is that I know, and anybody else who has ever preached or taught or shared scriptures or witnessed to anybody in a one-on-one setting or in a group setting, I, the vessel, have no ability. I have no transformative power whatsoever in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and the Holy Spirit can open up your ears, and the Holy Spirit can open up your eyes. But salvation, it's of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. You must believe by faith. You need to stop doubting. Why? Because tomorrow is not guaranteed. It's God's will that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You say, well, I'm offended at you saying that. You just called me wicked. The Word of God says you're wicked. Apart from God, your good works are like filthy rags. The cross was brutal. Isaiah 52:14 said that you couldn't not even recognize that Jesus Christ had the face of a man. He was beaten so badly. Christ paid a great price for you to have the opportunity to turn to him. To repent, that means have a change of mind and believe. That's put your hope, trust in what he's done, not what you can do. He says, many are called, few are chosen. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. He said, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because their God is their riches. What's your God today? What's keeping you back? What are you doubting? Ambition? Your own way? What's keeping you from eternal life? I pray you know this. And I'll share this personal testimony. I pray you know this. You ever share something with your spouse, you're not sure if you should have shared it? Well, I had that experience recently. And last week I had a minor little procedure done, and I had the procedure done. You know, they put you out. You know, you're completely vulnerable, and somebody puts you under, whatever. It's, you don't know what's going on. I don't remember it. I don't know what they're doing. Are they making jokes? What are they saying? But when I came out and I'm waking up, my wife and I, she drove me to Wegmans. You're talking. I told her, I don't know what, but I'm going to share this with you. I pray it encourages you. I said, babe, I got to tell you something. I was ready to go today. I was really ready to go. God just had me in a place of peace. I was like, Lord, if you take me today, take me. I'm okay with it. She was like, well, why do you? I said, babe, you're my best friend. I got to share this with you. That's really how I felt. Have you ever felt that way? Do you have any desire to be with the King of Kings and the Lord's? Do you have the peace and assurance of salvation? I pray you do. I pray you can have that same feeling to know when you pass from this earth, because you will, that you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. You're going to see Jesus face to face. No more tears, no more sorrows. Some of you have went through intense hardship this year. Great loss. Let me remind you of the words of Jesus. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I pray that today you know the Christ that the scriptures speak of. So I'm going to ask Alma and the worship team to come back up with one last closing song. You say, well, is he going to do an altar call? Nope, not going to do an altar call. I've already prayed about it. I was in here last night praying. Because you don't have to come to an altar. You don't have to physically walk up and come to an altar to know Christ. Look in the scriptures. There was a woman that was at a well that encountered Christ. There was a man who came by night to Jesus called Nicodemus that encountered Christ. There was an Ethiopian eunuch on a desert strip that encountered Christ. All you have to do is open up your ears, open up your heart, stop doubting, start worshiping and believe by faith, and you can know Christ. There's no specific formula. You just believe by faith in the one that the scriptures speak of, and you'll know. You will know that you are born from above, born again. You say, well, how am I going to know? You'll be different. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Your priorities change. Your character changes. Who you are, what you do, what you listen to, where you go, it starts to change. Why? Because of Christ in you. Go and tell my brothers. Go and tell my sisters. Do you remember the words? It's what Jesus will say. Do you remember what Christ said? I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I pray you remember that today as you enjoy this holy, blessed day with family and friends. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to gather here amongst your family, your bride, those that you purchased with your blood. But certainly there are some here today, maybe even watching online, they doubt. They don't believe. Maybe they don't believe you were crucified. They don't believe you were resurrected. They don't believe both. Or they just doubt who you are and what you've done. Holy Spirit, I ask that you open up the eyes of their heart right now, God, that they would repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ, that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have assurance of salvation beginning today. I ask these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's family said, amen. Amen.